Okay, so I wanted to, before we get into James 5, which is the last chapter of James, and we're going to finish James today, and I'm going to talk to you, start next week, about being fearless. All right. Woo. But I wanted to clarify something. Last week I talked about politics. Well, I said I didn't like talking about politics, and what I was trying to say, and I want to make sure that I was clear, is it's okay to talk about politics. But it's really how you do it, is what James was talking about. James was talking about stop your arguing and strife, or all the grumbling about the petty issues, right? But it's okay to talk about issues. It's just the way we do it, right? Okay. Well, James 5, we'll finish this off today. And I want to share with you a couple stories that I found that were pretty cool. And you probably could tell me more about these stories than I could because, I'm not that aware of some stories sometimes, and I find them, and I'm like, wow, that was a long time ago, and I should know this story, right? So, but I didn't. Has anybody heard of the ship called Endurance? Oh, well then, I'll tell you the story. There was a guy named Shackleton, and he sailed with a ship called Endurance from Plymouth. This was England on August 6, 1914. And they set course for Buenos Aires, Argentina. This was Endurance's first major cruising since her completion and amounted to a shakedown cruise, whatever that means. The trip across the Atlantic took more than 2 months. Built for the ice, her hull was considered by many of its crews too rounded for the open ocean. On October 26, 1914, Endurance sailed from Buenos Aires to what would be her last port of call, the whaling station of, I don't know how to say this, but it's a German word, on the island of South Georgia. Maybe it's not German. Arriving on November 5th, she left this town on December 5th, 1914, heading for the southern regions of Weddell Sea, if that's how you say it. 2 days after leaving South Georgia, Endurance encountered polar pack ice and progress slowed down. For weeks, Endurance worked her way through the pack. This is a bunch of ice, averaging less than 30 miles per day. By January 15, 1915, Endurance was within 200 miles of its destination, which was called Vassel Bay. However, by the following day, heavy pack ice was sighted in the morning, and in the afternoon, the strong wind developed. Under these conditions, it was soon evident progress could not be made, and Endurance took shelter under this large grounded berg. During the next 2 days, Endurance moved back and forth under the sheltering protection of this berg. On January 18th, the strong wind began to moderate, and Endurance set the topsail with the engine at slow. The pack, the ice, had blown away. Progress was made slowly until hours later. Endurance encountered the pack once more. It was decided to move forward and work through the pack, which is the bunch of ice. At 5 p.m., Endurance entered it. However, it was noticed that this ice was different from what had encountered before. The ship was soon amongst thick but soft brash ice. The ship became beset, which means attacked from all sides. The gale, the strong wind, now increased in intensity and kept blowing for another 6 days from a northerly direction towards land. By January 24th, the wind had completely compressed the ice in the whole Weddell Sea against the land. Endurance was icebound. All that could be done was to wait for a southerly wind that would start pushing, decompressing and opening the ice in the other direction. Instead, the days passed and the pack remained unchanged. Endurance drifted for months, beset in the ice in the Weddell Sea. The changing conditions of the Antarctic spring brought such pressure that Endurance was crushed. Over this period of time, on October 27, 1915, on the morning of November 21st, 1915, the Endurance's bow began to sink under the ice, and she was abandoned. For 10 months, they were in this struggle, this ship called Endurance. They endured through that period of time in a ship for that long, being crushed by ice on both sides, and yet it ended poorly, right? It ended in a sad state. They had to abandon the ship, and it sunk. And nobody, as I can see, was hurt, but it was a long process of endurance. And I don't know if you feel that way sometimes in your life. I don't know if you, we prayed about a lot of things, right? This morning, struggles, things that you feel deeply inside of you about other people, or maybe things that you're struggling with in your internal life. Maybe you're struggling with things in your family. And maybe this morning you've come and you've felt the pressures of life like this ship. When the ice pressed on one side and the other ice pressed on the other side for months on end. Or maybe you're discouraged and you feel like there's no hope. And maybe there is sickness in your family and you don't know where to turn. Or you're told to endure, but you just don't know how to continue on. Maybe the state of our economy is wearing on you. Maybe unemployment has stricken you too close to home. Maybe there's a concern about the election coming up and you're thinking, what hope is there? And maybe you have longed for Jesus Christ to come back and it's just taking so long. Or at least it feels that way, doesn't it? Well, REM put a song out a few years back. And I want you to listen to this song just about a minute or so. They have a good message for us. So let's listen. So hold on, he says. And we're going to look at James in a minute, and he says the same exact thing. He says, don't lose heart. Hold on. Endure. Be patient. And I looked up that word endurance because James talks about patience, and he talks about endurance. And I looked up the word endure, and I was trying to figure this endurance. And it, basically, endurance says suffering patiently. Suffering patiently. I didn't understand how those could really work together, but they do. James is talking to us about holding on. It also says, the dictionary also says that endurance means the fact or power of enduring or bearing pain, hardships. The ability or strength to continue or last, especially despite fatigue, stress, or other adverse conditions, stamina. He has amazing physical endurance or something endured as a hardship or a trial. And I want you to turn with me to James 5, verse 7. This is James's last words that we will read. This is what he tells us. And James eventually is killed for his faith. He didn't believe who his half-brother was. He came to believe who his half-brother was, and that was Jesus. And then he preached about it, and he told people about it, and he spoke about it, and he wrote a book about it, and then he was killed for his faith. And this is what he says, verse 7. Be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. I'm going to read from a different version here because you have NIV. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Now, I don't know how many times you've read that. It's in other parts of Scripture. And it's just like, what does that mean, near? Is it, I mean, because he said this a long time ago. Well, I can tell you this, if you've ever gone on a hike or if you've ever had kids in the car saying how much further or, you know, how many more minutes, it's like we're 1 minute closer. We're 1 minute closer to Jesus coming back, right? He's coming back. And James says, be patient, stand firm, endure. Don't grumble against each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. He is right there at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Think about the prophets. They spoke about future events. They spoke about what the Lord was doing. They told us they told us what was going to happen, and yet they didn't experience what was going to happen because it was way down the road in the future, in time. And they spoke about it, and it happened, of course, right? And they endured. They had patience, and they endured, and they continued on because they trusted the Lord. As you know, we consider, these are the prophets, consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. You got to read the whole book of Job. Okay? You can't just read the first chapters of Job and say, crud, this is really a sad story. Right? I mean, Job lost everything. I'm not just talking about his possessions. He lost everything. He lost his family. He lost everything. And yet we know, because we get the book, we know that Job, God provided for Job 10 times, right? I mean, he got everything back and more so. He had more kids and he was restored. And I don't know about you, but that gives me hope this morning. That in James is telling us about the prophets and how, what they said, and it was fulfilled. There's tons and tons. We could spend days talking about all the prophecy that was fulfilled. And we could talk about Job and how much God answered that, his request, his turmoil, his struggle. And you have heard of Job's perseverance, and you have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you will be condemned. So we'll stop there for a minute. I found another story that is kind of, you may have heard this one, I don't know. But there was a guy in the 90s. His name was Alvin Ray Straight. Anybody hear of this guy? Whew, all right. This is kind of fun. But this guy, Alvin Ray Straight, he was born in 1920, and he lived till 1996. And he was a resident of Lawrence, Iowa, who gained fame for traveling 240 miles on a 1966 John Deere mower. You heard it? Okay. To visit his 80-year-old estranged brother, Henry, in Blue River, Wisconsin, who had recently had a stroke at the top speed of 5 miles an hour. The journey took 6 weeks. Okay, I didn't have time to put a video or a picture, but just use your imagination this morning, okay? Picture this. 70-year-old, 74, I don't know what it was said, on a 1966 John Deere mower. Okay, this is not the pretty green-looking ones. This is old. Put a trailer on the back. Drove across two states. 6 weeks, 5 miles an hour. They actually made a movie, and it's rated G, so you could see it. So it took him 6 weeks. The trip took place in the summer of 1994, when Alvin was 73 years old. Mr. Straight could not see well enough to get his driver's license. So he decided his only option was the mower. Setting off in early July, he towed a trailer loaded with gasoline, camping gear, clothes, and food. And he arrived at his brother's house in mid-August. Isn't that funny? But maybe not. It was really actually kind of cool. Henry Strait recovered, this is his brother, and moved back to Iowa to be closer to his family. That's endurance. And maybe on our movie night, we'll look it up and see if we can watch that movie. That'd be kind of, I think it's called The Straight Road or Straight Path or something like that. So James says to be patient, to endure. The Lord's coming is near. To hang on, as R.E.M. said. To not lose heart, right? To not lose heart. And man, it feels like sometimes we lose heart. It feels sometimes that we struggle and it's like, God, what am I supposed to do? And we're discouraged. Has anybody done a marathon in here? Has anybody run a half marathon? Way to go. I know Cindy is running the marathon. Over 6 weeks? Yeah. Well, marathon runners, there's times where they hit the wall. I mean, 26 miles, whatever, point miles. What is a marathon? 26 what? 22. I thought I was... Oh, 26.2. Thank you. I knew there was a point. I hope there's a point. Marathon runners often reach the point where they wonder where they can keep going. They hit the wall. Everything pushes against them. Their muscles burn in pain. Their strength is gone. And they feel defeated. Does that sound familiar to life? Hit the wall. Yeah. And so as we run, as we walk, as we ride our John Deere mowers, may the Lord help us, right? Help us endure. Sometimes we're faced with sin and we begin to doubt God's forgiveness. And sometimes, we're faced with things, pain and troubles in life, and we doubt that that God really loves us. And so we struggle to finish the race and to get to the end. And at those times when we hit the wall, when we turn to those, we need to turn to the words of the Holy Spirit. That gave the Apostle Paul these words in Romans. If I could turn to Romans, if you want, chapter 8. What then shall we say? This is verse 31, chapter 8 of Romans. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? I can read more, actually. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then can condemn? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also, what's he also doing? Interceding for us. He's praying for us. I don't know, I feel good when my friends or my family pray for me, but if Jesus is praying for me, that's awesome. That is great. And so it says, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword separate us from the love of Christ? No. And so James says to endure. And so it's real easy to tell someone, just buck up, endure, come on. But that's not what James says necessarily, because if you get down to verse 13, what does he say to do? He doesn't just say to endure, come on, buck up. He says, pray. He says, pray. He knows that we can't endure on our own, right? And so in verse 13, it says, is anyone among you in trouble? We're back in James 5. He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up, and he, if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. That's good news. That we don't have to, like, you know, endure by ourselves. We don't have to be patient by ourselves. We can ask God to help us. We don't have to deal with sickness in our family or in our bodies or trouble in our lives by ourselves. We can ask God and pray, and He will help us endure. He will help us hold on. He will help us wait patiently. Don't lose heart. There's a video I want to show you. It's about a persistent quarterback, and he was very, very persistent, and he did not lose heart. Let's watch.
This is a true story about my son. It kind of reminds me of that story that Jesus told his disciples to show them that they should always pray and never lose heart. I think my son, he loves football. I mean, he absolutely is enamored by it. He was on a certain flag football team, and he had a coach that was a little bit unfriendly, a little bit cantankerous. And first day of practice, my son goes up to this coach and says, "Hey, would you mind if I tried out as a quarterback?" And he told my son, "Yeah, sure, we'll do that today." And at the end of the practice, he hadn't yet tried him out as a quarterback. So the second practice happens, and first thing my boy does, he walks up to the coach and he says, "Hey, would you try me out for a quarterback?" And the coach again says, "Okay, we'll do that later this practice." And as my son walked away, I remember the coach, he rolled his eyes and he said, "Everybody wants to be a quarterback." I was downright mad. So I gave my son a lecture. You know, sometimes people don't do what they say they're going to do. So then the third practice comes, and again, he goes up to the coach and he says, "Hey, are you going to try me out as quarterback?" I'm a little surprised. You know, he's being persistent here. This goes on every single practice. "Will you try me out?" "Yes, sure thing." And he never does. He never tried my boy out as quarterback. Well, the preseason ended, and I thought, well, that's that. And then the first game came. My boy, in his jersey and his flags, he's got everything, he's all decked out as a football, little football player. He walks right up to that coach again. And he says, "Coach, are you going to try him out as quarterback?" I remember the coach didn't know what to say. He's a little bit exasperated, a little put out. And in the middle of the game, fourth down, he puts my boy in. My son, he steps up into that quarterback position. He gets down behind the center. "Yeah! Set! High!" So I'm out of my seat. I got my camera. I start snapping shots. And he does one of those five-drop steps like he's been a quarterback all his life or something. He's 6 years old. And he times out a receiver's route. As he turns that corner, my son throws perfect spiral, perfect trajectory to the first down marker. Spot on. And he hits him. Unbelievable. I went crazy. I was up out of my seat, jumping and cheering. That's my boy, you know? I think when I think about the parable of the persistent widow and the story of my son, it's not so much about what you get because you ask, but it's more about not losing heart. I think in life things don't go our way. And even when we ask for them, they still don't go our way consistently. But the point is to not lose heart. And I wonder about the opposite, that if we do stop praying, that we do lose heart. Do you see where I'm going with that? That maybe asking in prayer is a connection point with hope, that we don't lose heart, even though we're not getting what it is we're asking for. By asking, we're walking in the assumption of hope. And I don't mean this to be some cheesy prayer thing. I'm sorry. Did you see what I'm saying though?
And so he says to not lose heart, to not give up. This election is coming up. our nation. It could be a bad situation either way. And what Mel said this morning was right on, and that is setting all the stuff aside. We need the Lord. We need the Lord in our lives. And if we're not praying, like he said, we will lose heart. The point is not what we get when we pray, right? The point is our heart. And God wants us to endure. He wants us to hang on. He wants us to know that at the end of all of this, there is hope. At the end of all of your turmoil in your life, there is hope. And God is going to walk through that whole process with you. He's right there. I'm going to pray. And I want you to remember, I was going to say we watched a video a couple years ago, of Rob Bell, and he was talking about his son and how he carried him in the storm. He walked through rain. They were on a walk and it started pouring on them. And the child was crying and crying and crying, and there was nothing that the father could do to protect him any more than just get out of that rainstorm. And what he decided to do as a father is that he would encourage him. He would say, "Daddy is right here with you. Daddy is right here with you." And that's what God wants you to know this morning, is that he is with us and that he has a great plan for us. So let's endure, but let's pray so that we can not lose hope. Father, I just want to understand better your love. We want to know that you love us. And sometimes we hit a wall. Sometimes we give up. Sometimes we lose heart. And you still love us. And yet you want to tell us that you are here with us, and you are going to be with us through the rest of our lives, and there's hope on the other side. And so, Lord, encourage us this morning. Help us to endure, as James talked about. Help us to not lose heart, to stand firm, to keep our eyes on Jesus, to focus on the coming King, and let everything else fall away. Jesus, we ask that you would be the focus. In your name, amen.